Sarah Morgan has it all. A brilliant career as a criminal defense attorney, a luxurious Tudor mansion in DC's elite Caloroma neighborhood, and a handsome novelist husband named Adam. Their 10th wedding anniversary should be a celebration of success and love, but instead becomes the catalyst for revealing deadly secrets. The tension between them is palpable during breakfast, as Sarah types emails while Adam stares at his cooling coffee. Though she's canceled their anniversary trip to their lake house to prepare for the high-profile Henderson murder case, she gives him an extravagant Patek Philippe watch engraved with 5,256,000, the number of minutes in 10 years of marriage. The gesture speaks volumes about her approach to romance, mathematically precise, materially generous, but emotionally distant. Their relationship has evolved dramatically since their Duke University days, where they fell in love as literature and political science students. While Sarah has achieved her dream of becoming a top attorney with a seven-figure salary, Adam's writing career peaked with his first book. His subsequent novels flopped spectacularly, creating a power imbalance that has become the perfect breeding ground for resentment and infidelity. Adam finds solace in Kelly Summers, a local cafe worker 15 years his junior who provides the attention his successful wife no longer gives him. Their relationship, which began over book discussions, quickly intensified. With her constellation of freckles and chestnut hair that catches the light like autumn leaves, Kelly represents everything missing from Adam's marriage. Spontaneity instead of rigid schedules, genuine admiration rather than criticism. Their first encounter at Adam's lakeside retreat was electric, like heroin coursing through my veins, as Adam describes it, igniting an 18-month affair that would spiral into obsession. Adam craves validation as the successful novelist he once was, while Kelly seems to be running from her own demons. The affair takes a dramatic turn when Kelly appears at Adam's cabin one stormy night, bruised and bloodied. She reveals her shocking truth. Her real name is Jenna Way, and she was the primary suspect in her first husband's murder in Seattle. Already too deeply entangled, Adam swears that her abusive husband, Scott, will never hurt her again, a promise with devastating consequences. The morning after Sarah surprisingly suggests they try for a baby, Adam's world implodes when Sheriff Stevens and Deputy Hudson arrest him without explanation. In interrogation, he learns the horrifying truth. Kelly has been found stabbed 37 times in his lake house bed. The evidence against him is damning. His fingerprints throughout the scene, biological evidence of recent sexual activity, and a handwritten note in his distinctive writing, "It's you. You're the words to a story I've been trying to write my whole life." When Sarah arrives at the station, her commanding presence initially draws deference from the staff. This crumbles when she's confronted with photos of Kelly's mutilated body, revealing both Adam's infidelity and his possible role in murder. In that moment, Sarah transforms from betrayed wife to determined defense attorney with a single declaration: "I'll be representing him." Is she defending Adam because she believes in his innocence? Does her decision stem from love that survives betrayal? Or are there deeper motivations hidden beneath her professional facade? As Sarah investigates Kelly's murder, layers of deception unravel. Kelly Summers was actually Jenna Way, previously charged with murdering her first husband before evidence mysteriously disappeared. More shocking, Scott Summers, Kelly's abusive husband and a police officer, was one of the arresting officers on that original case before marrying her. The investigation reveals additional suspects beyond Adam. Kelly had a stalker named Jesse Hook who memorized her schedule and texted, "I'm sorry," the night of her murder. The autopsy reveals Kelly was 4 weeks pregnant with Adam's child and had Rohypnol in her system, suggesting she was drugged before being killed. While Adam's DNA was found under her fingernails, two additional samples were discovered, one from Scott and another unidentified. In Adam's desk, Sarah finds a hidden compartment containing a gun and a photo of Adam and Kelly with the message, "End it or I will." She later discovers her assistant Anne took the photo and wrote the note, planning to expose the affair if Adam didn't end it, a betrayal that shakes Sarah's trust in this tangled web of deceit. Sarah's defense strategy focuses on creating reasonable doubt through five key facts: Scott's threats against Kelly, Kelly's true identity as Jenna Ray, a murder suspect from Wisconsin, multiple people from Jenna's past with motives, Kelly's relationships with three different men, and Kelly's stalker. Despite this carefully constructed defense, the jury deliberates for just 4 hours, an ominously short time for a capital case. 11 years later, Adam has been convicted and sentenced to death, his appeals exhausted, despite Sarah's persistent efforts. In the final scene, Sarah visits death row dressed in pristine white, an angel of death in a pencil skirt and blazer. Though still legally his wife, as he refused to sign divorce papers, she wears another man's engagement ring, planning to remarry the day after Adam's execution. The novel's shocking conclusion reveals the devastating truth: Sarah was Kelly's killer. As she watches Adam's execution, her internal monologue exposes her as a methodical sociopath who orchestrated the perfect crime, a slight smile playing at her lips as Adam takes his final breath. Sarah stabbed Kelly 37 times because Adam's affair threatened her world of control, 17 to the torso, 12 to the face, and 8 to the hands that had touched her husband. A divorce would have made her weak like her mother, whose heroin overdose Sarah actually facilitated. Sarah masterfully manipulated the entire investigation and trial using her legal knowledge. Rebecca Sanford, seemingly working for Scott, was hired by Sarah months before the murder to shadow Adam and feed him false leads. She even arranged the accidental discovery of Kelly's blood in Adam's car. What makes Sarah truly frightening is her ability to compartmentalize and perform different roles flawlessly. As a defense attorney, she convincingly plays the betrayed wife fighting for her husband's innocence while orchestrating his destruction. This duality extends to her relationship with Summer, whom she appears to love while showing no remorse for executing her father through legal manipulation. The novel suggests the perfect marriage of the title is deeply ironic. What appeared perfect was actually deadly. The real perfection lies in Sarah's execution of her plan, which succeeded so completely that Adam went to his death believing in his innocence. Her perfect crime required perfect timing, manipulation, and understanding of how to weaponize the legal system. By the end, we're left questioning how many perfect relationships might harbor similar darkness beneath carefully maintained facades. How thoroughly can we be deceived by those closest to us, even as they lead us to our destruction? Perhaps most terrifying is that the most dangerous predators aren't strangers lurking in shadows, but those who sleep beside us, planning our demise with a loving smile.